Welcome to the Big Punk Show with Mike and Jamie, coming at you live from deep inside Quarantine Zone 5. Ba-doo, bang, 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 rattle of a bell, bang, announcement, announcement, an announcement is made. Town crier, da-ding, 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 loo roll available at Tesco. We've got Kyle's on the show because obviously we're in lockdown. So Mike can't make it here because he lives with his dad and his mum and they're both old. So we won't put their lives at risk. So rather, we've got my dear friend Kyle joining us, who I'm currently living with.
Are you all right?
Yeah, all right, Kyle. Kyle doesn't sound like that. Kyle's obviously very southern. For those of you who are thinking, well, I've listened to a few episodes of the Big Punk Show with Mike and Jamie live on gloriouspublicradio.com. It used to be on at 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock on a Monday night, but no one listened to it, so it got cancelled, and now we do it as a podcast on Spotify, available for download at any time.
Wow.
And you'll be like, oh, do you know what? I've heard this, Kyle. Well, you have heard about Kyle, because me and Kyle, a lot of what I talk about on this show, a lot of the films that are discussed between me and Mike are ones that me and Kyle watch together. It's a name that's brought up a lot. So for the remainder of quarantine, it's going to be me and Kyle doing it, unless Mike does one with his brother. But they don't have any recording software, so they wouldn't be very good. But we're here to talk about all the wonderful... So first of all, Tiger King on Netflix. Everybody's watching it. I've now seen it. Me and Kyle have seen it. That's to come. But first, Kyle.
Yes.
How are you finding COVID-19?
A bit of a pain in the ass, really.
It is, isn't it? It's a very privileged position we live in for it just to be a pain in the ass, though.
Yes. It's disruptive, but it's not impacted my life hugely.
Apart from your uni degree?
Apart from my uni degree, yes. That's moved online. So, essentially, the university was the first... All universities closed early just because of the international nature of them. And so everything moved to online teaching. And I mean, that's fine, but when you pay X amount of money for a degree, well, you know, you don't really pay it. The government pays for it. But, when the government pays for your degree so you can go and get drunk instead of actually going and getting a job 9 to 5 because you're too scared of the life that you might have if you don't get a university degree, then you know that you'd rather be in a classroom because you sort of feel like, you know, there's a presence of learning. When you're at home, it's a lot harder to kind of be motivated to do stuff. But I mean, other than that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would you like to talk about how it's changed your dissertation? What were you going to do? Because I find your uni course very, very interesting. And I know a lot of people who listen to the show will also find it interesting.
So 50% of your audience are about to shut off right now. But essentially the idea was to go into Scotland to research how this organisation is planning on making a circular economy in a kind of... in a region of Scotland, in Inverness, near Ben Nevis Mountain. There's a very open and sort of luscious green space that is potentially, they could create something not like Centre Park, something a bit more open than Centre Park, but it would essentially be self-sustaining forever. So it'd make its own money, it would make its own fuel, and everything it needed would come from the land. And I was going to research that and see how feasible it was, because obviously we've not got a lot of resources left in the world. So if we consume on the path we are, then we'll probably... A lot of bad things will happen, blah, blah, blah. But I was going to go and research that to see if this kind of land management strategy is possible. But COVID came.
COVID did come.
It came and it came hard.
It did.
All over. In fact, all over the UK. It came all over.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's a mess.
Especially right down in London. Oh, yes.
The tube, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the tube.
It's the tube.
Do you know they have their own species of mosquito in the tube?
Do they?
Yeah, they're only evolved in there.
That's incredible.
I haven't seen one, but I imagine it's probably about 7 feet tall.
Hello there, governor. You're all right. Can I just sit down here next to you? You don't mind if I fly around a little bit? Do you have a little suck on your blood, mister?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's good. See... It's all about providing people facts on the Big Punk Show, Mike and Jamie. It's often there's facts about, you know, punk music, like our new album Dirt Mall's out. That's a fact. The Chat's new album is also out. That's a fact. Incisions and Pizza Tramp split on TNS Records, available now. That is also a fact. One thing that about COVID and the great lockdown and quarantine, and I was very naive about this. I was very naive. In fact, Sam had to edit us out me and Mike on a previous episode that only got uploaded recently being like, oh, it's, you know, nothing to worry about. We were very wrong because it turns out actually there's quite a considerable amount to worry about.
Yes.
And what I forgot is I also, you know, at the time I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. I could just do my job from home. And then they sat me and I'm like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's fine. That's fine. If lockdown goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, then it's like, okay, that's all right. It's like a holiday.
Yeah.
If it goes on until August.
All of summer.
Oh.
Oh. You know what happens to the British people when you take the summer away?
No, you don't, because it's never happened. And
it's like Googling Google.
just blue screen.
The UK just disappears.
It's just deleting the System 32 of the UK, isn't it?
No summer?
To be fair, though, you are allowed your state-sanctioned bit of exercise every day, and we had a lovely walk through Industrial Trafford.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was a place that I would never go walk to normally. Right. I'd normally walk into Manchester, but there's no point in walking to Manchester because all the pubs are closed. Yeah. So it was nice to see a part of my city that I've not seen before. So do you know what? If you sat there in quarantine zone, you know, 12, 15, 86.1, whatever quarantine zone you're in, you know, go outside and explore it, you know, within your means. Keep, you know, hand sanitizer if it's not all been hoarded away and sold at a ridiculous profit.
Wash your hands before you leave.
Before you leave?
Wash your hands before you leave and when you come back is the advice. Washing your hands before you leave protects everyone else.
I've not been
washing your hands after when you come back protects you.
I've not been washing them before I leave every time. Is that bad?
Police? Ring, ring.
Media City Police. Kyle.
Stole that record.
Speaking of the police. The police played perhaps somewhat a smaller role in a Netflix documentary, Tiger King, than I would have expected. This has been all over the bastard internet, all over my Facebook, my Instagram, people are sharing stuff about it. Thanks to the recommendation of my dear friend Rebecca, I have finally now witnessed it. Sometimes there comes a point in time where you've seen a lot of the weird documentaries. We've got a list of some of the weirder ones that we've watched together. We're aficionados of this. It's rare a 7-hour documentary as batshit insane like that is captured, because it's almost like winning the lottery, a documentary that crazy. Do you know what I mean?
What was mad about it is that just the sheer amount of footage they had, because it was just in an environment where there were always cameras around, and it just so happened that environment was batshit insane. So it's just two things like colliding perfectly.
Because they've got Joe Exotic's TV like YouTube series. So they were always filming for that.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy who was making, who was going to make a reality TV show, and then the people documenting that.
Yeah.
Three lots of cameras, really.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. For how many years? Was it 10 or 20 years? Something like that. Something crazy.
Oh, he'd been doing his online show for like decades.
Yeah.
But I think it must have covered a good couple of years, that documentary. I'm sure it started in 2017 or something like that.
What, the time frame? When they started filming? It was
yeah.
Like the 90s.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it started like early 2000s, late 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how I managed to miss that.
Because like a lot of the archive footage was there. It was like mid 2000s was when they're filming for the TV show, I think.
The YouTube thing when YouTube kicked off. So that'd be like 2010s.
Yeah. It covered a lot of ground and it covered a lot of twists and turns. Like I'm very, very skeptical about like Netflix documentaries. Some of them are really good and some are really rubbish. But this one was really good. There are claims that it's fake. I've heard claims. Like people have been saying it's a mockumentary. But if it's a mockumentary, they are the best
actors.
The best actors. Because yeah. Like the way that, you know, when you talk to someone, you can sort of tell when they're like telling a story and it's like, oh my God.
They're being genuine.
There's some things that happen in this world that are just beyond comprehension. You think you've heard it all. And then that happens.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And the thing is that it's like people who are saying, because like I'm, you know, I'll watch like a reality TV series, for example, and I'm the first person to be like, that's obviously fake. Mm-hmm. It's like Love Island. It's like a lot of it's, you know, set up. It's like, oh, you should chat about this. And you can tell because the conversation doesn't flow particularly naturally at all. It's like bad acting.
Yeah.
Bad acting, you can tell because it's unnaturally flowing conversation. You know, there's no chemistry and stuff between the acting. There's no need for chemistry in this because the actual Joe Exotic is very charismatic.
Yeah.
It's batshit crazy. Yeah. And the thing about Joe Exotic is none of it is any less crazy than like Donald Trump being president.
No, yeah, that was actually the episode where it got a little political was actually one of the more interesting ones.
When he started running for Congress?
Because you could see the parallels. It was all about just like the sort of getting the common man, getting the attention of we're in this fight against like the government. You know, it's the libertarian argument where we want our guns and we want our land and everything. We don't want to be intervened by the government. And also that just provoke everyone and just, you know, get attention. No press is bad press. It was the same thing. He went on the same platform.
He's just a bit... It's just Donald Trump's a, you know, billionaire, so it's much more marketable.
He's also a lot more sinister than Joe Exotic, I feel. Although, actually, he is a bit of a...
He's a bit of a cunt. One interesting thing we read today is that Cardi B wants to raise money for what?
For his... It's something to do with getting out of prison.
No. Like that. If ever someone has deserved to be in prison, it's him. Yeah. If not...
Is that not a spoiler? No, he says it at the start of the documentary.
A lot of people have seen it. I feel a lot of people have seen it. If you've not seen it, obviously, and you don't want any spoilers, there's loads of other great episodes of the Big Punk Show with Mike and Jamie you can listen to.
Or you could just fast forward 5 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough. That was enough time for people to make their mind up as well. Then. I was giving people a chance to contemplate, mull it over. Taste the wine before they enjoy, okay. Sniff the cork, so to speak. But if he shouldn't be in jail for hiring somebody to kill, what was she called?
Nadine Doris? No, that's not it.
All I can think of is cute cats and kittens.
Yo, hey there, are you cute cats and kittens?
Oh, it's sinister. I thought she, by the way, that what's she called? Google now. Google what she's
called. Hey, Jamie, pull that shit up.
Why do I think Caroline Flack?
Caroline Flack is the Love Island presenter that killed herself.
Yeah, I know. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, don't worry. I just Googled cute cats and kittens. Shit. Guess what just came up?
Her.
No. Oh. Lots of pictures of cute cats and kittens.
Oh, right. Okay. Just put Tiger King in.
Yeah. Peter, Tiger King, lady. Carol Baskin.
Carol, I knew it was a C. Sorry, we were very high when we watched this. Carol Baskin. Now, one, she killed her husband. I'm sure he pushed her.
He pushed her.
She, honestly, I believe that. But if not for going to jail for trying to have that woman murdered, he should definitely be going to jail for his treatment of animals.
All of them?
Yeah,
even all the woman. She bred and sold them. She was like, you can't do this, but she did it.
Yeah, she...
That's how she made her money.
It's annoying because you kind of want to be on her side, but at the same time, like, there was something very sinister to her.
I think it was probably because they kept saying that she killed her husband, and that's why it just kind of...
That would have... No, but even before that, do you remember...
There was a look. There was a look in her eyes.
It's the way that she was very... I don't know. She seemed to be... Her attitude of, like, all the... negative hate she got off Joe Exotic that she was suing him over as well. Mm-hmm. She'd be like very nonchalant with the way she'd respond to like the accusations and stuff. Yeah. She'd be like, oh, you know, some silly people say this and, you know, it's upsetting and that. But she was very calm about it.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody was going around, if you died, if you perished and I wasn't involved in the murder of you and people were going around saying I'd killed you, I'd be very, very much like, yeah. That fucking didn't happen. And it's quite offensive that people are suggesting that. I'd be quite angry and I'd be like, fucking... do you know what? I'd be like, I'm sorry, go and have a look at Joe Exotic and you tell me who you want to believe. You tell me which one of us you want to believe.
Yeah, there's like the video of him shooting a mannequin's head on stream.
I'm like, do you want to believe him or me?
It's not, the evidence is kind of stacked against you there, Joe.
The thing is that with all those little... like his music video, for example...
What, the music video where he sings about this woman who killed her husband?
Yeah.
And he starts feeding bits of fake human to a tiger to kind of... Yeah, that was great.
Mate, all of those videos, I can't believe they've never cropped up on deep into YouTube.
No, I know.
Like,
this has flown totally under my radar.
Mate.
100%.
It's deep into YouTube gold.
Yeah.
And as well, apparently, there's a Louis Theroux about him as well.
I didn't know that. Oh, I'll tell you. Mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, apparently there is. Now, to get validity on this, I asked Bobby from Laser Christ to send him me. It was Bobby who put out the word to the world being me. Louis Theroux, dangerous pets. Okay. It's on YouTube as well that everyone can watch. That's amazing.
Thanks, Channel 4.
How long is it? Oh, okay. It's 40. That's a 49-second clip.
Right.
Right.
Not quite the in-depth analysis we're looking for, I think.
It's not. It's not. But Louis Theroux, Dangerous Pets. We'll fucking drop my phone. We'll watch it. We'll watch that. We'll watch that.
And report back next week.
We'll watch that and report back next week. Or it could be sooner. We'll probably do an episode every day. I've said this a few times.
Okay.
It's hard
okay.
to get
It's
them
like up. When YouTubers are like, guys, I know I had a long break, but I'm back now and I'm here to stay. But let's vlog every day.
We just do it week, don't we? Do one every week.
Yes.
I'm dangerous. Me and Kyle at the minute, with the old lockdown, we're dangerously close to getting a TikTok. Making TikTok comedy.
But in that kind of spirit of Vines, I think. Not the TikTok remix things.
No.
If you know what I'm talking about. Those are awful.
I'm scared of TikTok. It's like uncharted waters.
Yeah.
It's not got the safety.
You know, it's really popular, you know.
It is.
Like, a lot more popular than I thought it was.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm saying, and people with the COVID scare, everyone's making one.
Yeah.
We need to find something to... Anyway, we're going off into the...
Diverging.
We're diverging into the money-making ideas.
Yes.
We need to get right back onto Joe Exotic. So, I have actually seen a lot of people, because obviously it's batshit crazy, but I have seen a lot of people who are like, yeah, Joe Exotic's my hero. It's like, no. Like,
who says that?
I've seen people on Facebook saying like...
Oh, right.
I'm like, yeah, you can find him like... You're not going to be his mate.
I can understand why people admire him a little bit, because he's very like... He's very much like embodies, I don't give a fuck, you can't do anything to me kind of thing. Which, you know, it's always, you got to respect that a little bit, you know. It's kind of standing up for yourself. But he takes it way too far. Way too far.
It's very American. You can only get people like Joe Exotic in America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's because of the American dream and freedom. Yeah. We were chatting about this last night.
I think, personally, it comes down to the... Freedom of speech is like a right given to you, legal right that is protected by the American establishment. That is protected. And they're like, well, you know, you can't do anything to stop me because I have free speech. And that just is very tricky. You know, it makes people do some crazy things like Joe Exotic.
Yes.
Yes.
Or Alex Jones.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll come back to Alex Jones.
Mm. Old Faithful.
One person I found very strange was not Joe Exotic. What was the other big zookeeper in it called?
With the goatee.
Google, Carl. It'd be so much better if we could remember people's names.
I'm not very good at remembering people's names.
I'm not very good at remembering very people's bad. Names. Very, anybody, very any, anybody who listens to my band and all that.
I apologise if anyone's listening for forgetting your name.
I also apologise for that. It's what happens when that's what happens when you smoke. In fairness, Doc Antle.
Yes, from Myrtle Beach Safari.
What's funny about when they said he was from Myrtle Beach and they had all those shots of him on the jet ski, is it was literally like Eastbound and Down, and Kenny Powers goes to Myrtle Beach on that and plays baseball for him, or soft. No, it is baseball. He plays baseball for him on it, and the jet ski scene alone to bring him in was just, it was so like that Danny McBride, Seth Rogen style of humor, that like, you know, that new wave American stoner comedy.
Oh yeah,
it's very super bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And there was quite a lot of things in it that were brilliant like that. Part of the way it was shot, I thought it was directed very well, because they really made them look like larger than life characters, which is all through good editing, really. Yeah. That larger than life thing was summarized for me perfectly by all these really, really weird, egotistical, strange, ugly men with multiple spouses.
That was the one thing that really like ties together people that keep exotic animals. From what I've seen on this show, it may not be, you know, all people that keep exotic animals, but everyone that keeps big cats, at least that I've seen, all have at least three girlfriends and a wife, or like multiple boyfriends. All of them in that show, all of them.
They absolutely love being polyamorous. It must be because they like animals. Animals have multiple partners, don't they?
They don't. They're not, unless you're like a fucking stick insect.
The only one who didn't is Carol.
Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just had one husband that she killed, then that other husband. Him in the tiger costume, that was a bit much.
Who in the tiger costume?
Do you remember that shot, that photo? It was like at the wedding or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bizarre, that.
Yeah.
I quite liked him.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah. I mean, he did step into that woman's life. I wonder if he knew what he was getting himself in for.
Probably not, to be honest. No. Probably not. It'd probably be very hard to... It'd be hard to just
that is,
predict that at all.
That's some baggage, isn't it? Being in like a multi-million pound lawsuit if someone wants to shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, like, honey, I have something to talk to you about.
Someone's been hired to kill me.
That's fine, honey.
It's all right. Let's go stroke the cats. I found it... I found it like an incredible look into human psychology as well. Because what's very interesting about Joe Exotic is they say it in the film is he really does build this world for himself. All of them do. It's all very Michael Jackson.
What, like with the Neverland Ranch?
Yeah, It's all like they've built themselves this weird world where like they're the boss and they're in charge. And it's like, it's very interesting. You know, something always goes wrong for those people eventually.
Yeah. There's a downfall.
There comes a great responsibility with being God, apparently. One that people just aren't prepared for.
Who knew? Mere mortals.
Yeah, exactly. Who knew? Who'd have thought? Who'd have thunk it? But Tiger King, aside from our babbling, I genuinely couldn't go and recommend it to you more. It has had me thinking about other documentaries I've watched recently that are in a similar vein. My favourite style of documentary is human documentaries, like documentaries about weird people doing weird things. And now, no better example of that is the Tiombi Tiles documentary. The Tiombi Tiles documentary, which is called Resurrect the Dead on Planet Jupiter. Oh, what's the last bit?
No.
Google it.
Yep. Pull that shit up, Jamie.
Carl, pull that shit up.
What is it? It's like the Tiombi... It's just the Tiombi phrase,
tile.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The Tiombi tiles are typically inscribed with the phrase Tiombi idea in movie 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter. That was the whole thing.
In Kubrick's two.
That's actually only one of them. That was the main one.
That was the first one.
Yeah. In Kubrick's 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter.
Which would make such a good shirt.
Yes.
Now, the Tiombi tiles documentary, I can't remember. I just found it on a random list and I thought it looked quite interesting. And I've never been presented with such I get into weird things like this, me. Like, I can really get behind, like, the Tiombi tiles. I can really get behind that because they're so abstract and strange.
Yeah, it's like a big, like, mystery.
It's a big whodunit. Yeah. Why are they there? And they're very pointless at the same time. Mm-hmm. And part of the Tiombi tiles, so essentially, there's these tiles knocking up on the east coast of America that say
Tiombi idea in movie 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter.
And the documentary follows, I don't know how to describe him really. He's just a normal person who's fascinated with him.
Yeah. He's just someone that's like, he likes to solve puzzles and he just wants to, I guess this to him is like the ultimate puzzle.
Because what was interesting is he found the first one at like the end of the 80s when he was a street courier. It was just a tile just like on the tarmac. So he was obviously like, how the fuck did this get here? And then as he was a foot courier, he started noticing them around Philadelphia and that. And one of my favourite bits was when the internet first opened in his public library and the first thing he did was went and, well, it wouldn't have been Google, would it? What would it have been?
Alta Vista.
Yeah.
Or like Ask Jeeves or something.
Yeah. I Ask Jeeves Tiombi tiles. Is Ask Jeeves still a thing?
No.
Is it not?
I don't think so.
R.I.P.
Yes.
R.I.P. But, the Tiombi tiles that were is fascinating just because... Much like Tiger King, it has got twists and turns in it. It has got little pathways it goes down that surprise you. There's a bit where he almost meets the person who made these tiles. Like he finds like a fresh one on the ground, which is very interesting. But I just liked it because of how weird the subject matter is.
Yeah, it is very strange. Like when you're just sort of walking around town and you see in the middle of the road this like mosaic thing saying Tiombi idea. First of all, what is Tiombi idea? Second of all, why are you mentioning Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey? Third, why are you saying Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter? Fourth, how did it get there? Like, that was my question. Like, how is he placing these tiles down? Because it was my understanding that you need to pull up the road and like put these little mosaics down with the glue. And
he did it with his car, didn't
but he?
He
just cut a hole in the bottom of his car, pre-made these tiles so they were like an A4 piece of paper big with these words on, and then just dropped them out of the bottom of his car. And somehow it would then stay in the ground. I don't know how he did it.
I think he got hot tarmac.
But why was he? He basically went all along the Americas. Like
he went to South America.
He went to Argentina, I think.
Yeah.
Or Chile or something. And all the way up into Canada. So he went all the way up and down the continent, placing these tiles everywhere. I can't remember why he did it. He was like thinking he could save the world or something.
He thought that the next step in evolution would be the ability to resurrect dead people. And he said at which point life would become a utopia. And he thought he had a way to do it, but he was called like insane because of it.
Yeah.
So it's like so that adds like an extra dimension to it, because that's almost like a Simpsons plot, like about a character. And again, it's like when you realize that that's why they're there, because of this kind of like insane, well, insane's a strong is one word for it. But when you realize that that's why they're there, you suddenly grow a massive affinity to the person trying to uncover it all.
Yeah,
because you've learned something about a person through this documentary. It's very weird how it's like, in the same way that Tiger King, it's like by the end of those like 7 hours, you feel like you know all of those characters. Whereas Tiombi Tiles, you know, it's only like an hour and a half, but it's less that you feel like you know these people and more that you just gain an attachment to him, because it's the way it's edited, the way the story of the documentary unfolds, I think is really good.
Yeah. It really is one of those things where it's like, when you're watching it, you're like, I don't think they're ever going to find this guy. And really, they don't really.
No, we won't spoil it, because it's very much one. It is very much one people should watch.
It is a 1 out of 2. Definitely a 1 out of 2. Go watch it.
A 1 out of 2.
Well, it's not 2 out of 2, is it? It's not.
I'll tell you what is a 2 out of 2, Kyle. Bit less weird, bit more intense. But we're in lockdown, right? We're in lockdown. I personally think going off just how batshit crazy everybody's been, we're a few weeks shy of somebody with coronavirus starting a cult saying, no, it's God who's told us that we need to use coronavirus to kill everybody, and they go around coughing on people. I think we're that far away. One film for those people, for those types, Waco, Rules of Engagement.
Oh, God.
Cults never win.
I knew this one was coming up. I feel sick.
Oh, goddamn Waco.
I actually feel... Whenever we talk about this documentary, I do feel a little bit weird.
It's sad. It's really sad.
It is a total and utter... It's one of the examples that you can give for, like, people who are anti-government, because it's such a fuck-up.
Yeah, it's a huge fuck-up.
Such a fuck-up.
A lot of people died that didn't need to.
Yeah.
So Waco's like, I'd only heard of it kind of in passing. I didn't really know. I knew it was something to do with like a cult leader and stuff, and I knew that like the police ended up killing a lot of people, but I didn't know the way it unfolded.
No. No.
I really didn't know the way.
No.
And what's interesting about that is Oklahoma and Columbine are all connected. Because we watched...
Yeah, they all crop up, don't they?
Yeah, within... Because we watched one about...
And Oklahoma City as well, right?
That's what I was saying, the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
We watched a documentary about that as well, and that was very intertwined with Waco.
Yeah.
Which was something that we weren't quite expecting.
Is it in the same region of America, like the Midwest?
Yeah, Oklahoma and Texas are quite close.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it's I can't remember the connection. I think it was people involved or something like that. There was conversations were had between... like people involved in both of them. But yeah, Waco Rules of Engagement really is just like an eye-opening documentary into what can go wrong when there's guns and insane people involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. I really don't know. It's awful. It's awful.
See what it's done to Kyle? That's what it'll do to you.
Like, it's a great documentary. It's really fair. It tells position from both the government side and from the people in the building and whatnot and part of that side. But it is quite sad.
It is sad.
I would watch it just so that you're aware of, kind of if you don't know about it.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, it's something to watch if you're unaware.
Just inform yourself if you want, but it isn't happy. It's not happy.
One that is happy, tickled. I'm going to let you...
Very happy.
I'm going to let you yes. describe. It's not, well, it's not quite happy.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, relative to Waco.
Yeah, well, it's... yeah.
Many things are happy relative to Waco.
Yes.
but yeah, tickle's great. It's kind of... It's very similar to Tion Bitars in a way. Less kind of conspiratorial.
It's more mystery, though.
Yeah, and so it's basically this guy, this New Zealand presenter who's like the New Zealand... He's like the... Australasian version of Louis Theroux, basically, is what he is. And he sort of investigates this kind of online tickling circle, which is just websites of guys, young guys, probably like 18 to 25 or so.
All big athletic,
like wrestlers, rugby players, not rugby, what they call it in the Americas.
Football. American football!
American football. American football players and shit. And they basically get paid money to tickle each other on camera. Just, you know, sometimes I'll just have like boxers and shirts. Sometimes I'll just have the trousers on. And then one of them will get tied down and then the rest of them will tickle them. So it's you know, it's playful. It's like softcore porn.
Yeah.
Pretty much is what it is, right?
Yeah.
There's no other reason for it.
It's very sex extra.
Yeah. What?
Do you not remember that TV show on Channel 4? Oh. After like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, sex extra. And it'd be like weird things.
My mum made me go to bed at 9.
Yeah, but God didn't have a bedtime at my grandma's.
Oh, lucky bastard.
Oh. Well, you weren't missing out on much. Hmm. It was like that and police chases. television before the days of Sky, after about 11 o'clock, it wasn't a great place. Mm. Not when you're young. No. There's a lot of stuff you don't know what's going on. A lot of Dog the Bounty Hunter, though. Thank you, Freebie.
That's not a bad thing.
No, Dog I love Dog. I do love Dog the Bounty Hunter.
But yeah, no, tickled. And then... He goes into it a bit further and he finds out that there's actually sort of all the power of this online tickling market, I guess you could say, entertainment market, all the power and like control is in the hands of a few small people, not literally, but like three or four people. And it's just about him chasing after them and why so much money is being poured into this weird kind of style of video. And it's not so much like he's trying to press the people who make these videos because it's tickle porn. It's like he doesn't at any point kind of shame that or anything. It's more the sort of sinister way that these people run this tickling porn business. They're blackmail-y.
Yeah.
They blackmail their actors.
It's very much in the defense of the actors.
Yeah, because like he says to like one guy who is like an up and coming American football player, the owner of this place, the he or she that owns it, this business, he was saying to this football player, if you say anything and you try and blow the whistle on us, I'll release these videos and cut off the money I'm sending you and stuff like this and ruin your career.
And these like athletic industries that they're in, quite homophobic.
Oh yeah.
Massively. Very homophobic.
If they see a picture of a video of you doing that, you're not going to get on the tryouts, are you?
No, especially because it's an entertainment industry as well. So it comes with celebrityism, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's like something that will follow you around. It might genuinely put somebody off.
Mm-hmm. So it is horrible the way that this person runs this tickling entertainment company.
Oh, one of the best things about the documentary is how much you want them to bring them down.
Oh, yeah.
How much you root for that journalist.
Yeah.
And it's not like me to read for a
Jew. And also, like, the film ruined the journalist and his I think him and his partner.
Yeah.
Because the journalist is gay and he's him and his boyfriend. I think it's his boyfriend.
Yeah, because
or husband.
The people who make these tickling videos, the kickoff started because they threw a load of homophobic abuse.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. They were like, you know, we're not going to have a gay man interviewing or chasing us
down. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, guys, you've got guys who have just got their pants on, like tickling and like squirming all over each other, and you're calling this guy homophobic slurs and stuff. I mean, it's just double standards, really. But the chase is just, it's just great. It's good. It's 9 out of 10. 1 out of 2.
9 out of 10. Another thing for you to enjoy lockdown with. Now, one thing I enjoy or have been enjoying during lockdown is giving people a ring and seeing what they're up to because everyone's home. So let's ring Mike. Now, Mike has his tea at about 4:30, so he might be having his tea, but it is his radio show, so we'll see what he's got to say, if anything. Mike, me and Kyle are just doing the radio. We're coming to the end. We've just been going through documentaries to watch during the old lockdown. How's quarantine zone 2?
It's all right, you know. I mean, it's pretty shit and boring, not gonna lie. But I've been trying to get my watching up, I started watching that Tiger thing before.
We've reviewed it.
Oh, yeah, I'm only about 10 minutes in, so you have to get me when I'm more accustomed to it. But I've been watching the Fugazi documentary again because it's beautiful. Just the cinematography is mint, isn't it? What else have we watching? I've been watching loads of like a ride and like Jesus and Mary tables of like 80s, 90s.
Me and Carl saw them. They were shit. Yeah, yeah. They were shit.
Yeah, they seemed like they were a lot better back in the day. But yeah, I've been like different.
How did you and your brother's garage night go?
It was very funny actually. It was on for about like nearly 2 hours.
I know that was funny that.
Didn't it? But it took an AC at the mic working, so like, I didn't know if you could hear us. And then but it turned out like when I watched it back, you could hear like everything, so it was all right. But yeah, that was pretty funny. We ended up getting pissed up in his room, just doing that, playing absolute bangers.
All right, buzzing.
What about your zone? What have you been up to?
Well, we've just been talking about that for the last half an hour. So, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, God bless. I'm sorry I can't be there, but look after yourselves.
Goodbye, Mike.
Farewell, friend.
Farewell. Bye.
Well, that was lovely. So that's Mike, everyone. Everyone, thanks for listening. Before we leave you, Alex Jones. I spoke about Alex Jones on this show a few times.
Exactly.
Right.
I wonder what he thinks about COVID.
I've been thinking, I do need to listen to his show just to work out what he's got to say about COVID, because me and Kyle, we actually watched about 7 of his films.
Yeah, that's about 10 hours.
Yeah, and they're all so, God, they're full of bullshit and they're very long. Mm-hmm. They are very long.
It might be close to 15 hours.
Yeah, no, because they're all like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And it's just talking as well. It's just like fact after fact after. It's like, then.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep, yep.
One thing Alex Jones is very scared of is a police state, and that's why he's got 7 movies about such.
Yes.
Now, when we watched 9/11, Road to Tyranny, we said that if you were one of these conspiracy theorists that was looking at Bush Senior and Bush W, and thinking, oh, okay, government-funded terrorism, which they're going to use to go and invade a country with. If you were very much into that school of thought and then 9/11 happened, you would go insane because you'd be like, oh my God, it's happening, I'm right.
Yeah, it's like you'd make 7 films about police state. I mean, who would do that?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, imagine that that's happened and people are still... Now, by the way, I'm not saying I agree with this, man. I'm going to get that just... Remind you all, don't agree with this, but just imagine that, you know, you've been going on about what you've been going on about and everyone's called you insane, said you're wrong. And now America has got the COVID very badly. It's got it very badly. It's going to have to go on lockdown. It's going to be a police state. Alex Jones, I need to know what's going on. If you want to entertain yourself during the lockdown, listen to his show. I've not, but I can only imagine it's fucking hilarious. Now, we're going to watch a documentary tonight called Wolfpack.
Yes.
And we're going to review that for the next episode. And also, join us on the next episode, because we're going to be talking about funny things that you can be doing to occupy yourselves during the quarantine. Now, over to Kyle's Corner for what Kyle is going to recommend you eat during these perilous times.
4 cookies a day. 4 cookies a day. Treat yourself. Bring joy and sugar to the world.
It's the Big Punk Show with Jamie and Kyle. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.